We are thankful to see each one here this evening. We certainly desire your prayers. Continuing our study in the book of Hebrews. We're in Hebrews chapter 11, going to be picking up in verse 30. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30, and our goal is to finish chapter 11 tonight, however long that takes. And y'all might think, oh no, he's going an hour or something, but it's probably going to be even short. I'm always cautious in saying that. My wife says, never tell anybody you're going to preach short, because she says you never do when you say that. But we don't know how long it'll take. We're just going to try to get the thoughts that God's placed upon our heart and go through them, that it could be a blessing to us and help us to look up. Before we begin reading in verse 30 of Hebrews 11, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. The Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Father, we're so thankful for the many wonderful things that you've done for us. Father, we can't thank you enough for all that you've done for us. And Father, even the examples that you've left behind for us. Father, you've just been so good to us, so much better than we deserve. And Father, we pray that we could by faith serve you as we should. Father, that we could be the light in this world that you've called us to be. And Father, that we could give the evidence of our salvation through faith. And Father, faith is such an important thing. We know without it we can't please you. And Father, we just need you to live for you, to honor you, and uphold your word in a very lost and sinful world, that lost sinners could be saved and we as your people could be strengthened and encouraged. For we ask all this in the name of Jesus, for he is worthy. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30, we finished off last week dealing with Moses passing through the Red Sea and by faith doing that, the Israelites. But he says in verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. And I think about that so many times, the walls of Jericho and blowing the trumpets and how God just worked in that way. And, you know, for the faith of the people just to follow what God gave Joshua is such a blessing. Just that they by faith did it. Can you imagine going, we're going to blow the trumpet, we're going to go back to our camp. We're going to blow the trumpet, we're going to go back to the camp. And doing that day after day, and then seeing God work as he did. And seeing the walls come down, and seeing the great victory. And no doubt there at Jericho that last day, they were not prepared for battle. They were thinking, well, they're going to do just like they've done the past several days. And God was working all that. And he was giving them the ability to win. And God does things where he gets the glory and the honor out of it, and not us. And we see that in several places. But I will say this while we mention Joshua, that, you know, that book is a book of total victory. There is one defeat in the whole book. One. That's a wonderful thing. You could even say in some ways, in all that we talk about with Moses and all the great things that God did with Moses, you could say that it was greater with Joshua than it was with Moses. Because of this success and because of all of actually going into the land to possess it and all that God used him to do. And, of course, the great faith of Joshua we hear over and over again, one of the most quoted scriptures in all the Bible. And, you know, when he says, as for me and my house, we will follow the Lord. And, of course, there's a lot going with that scripture also that we're not going to get into. But they did these things by faith, and God gave victory because they, by faith, just did what he told them to do. In verse 31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. And God shows again and again, it's not about where you're at in life, but when you by faith follow God, he can change your path. Now, Rahab's always known as the harlot. You find her even in the book of James and other places. She's called the harlot. We know her profession. We know what she was. But we also know that evidently she got a husband. Had a child. Even within the lineage of Jesus Christ. And that's an amazing thing that God can take wretched sinners that would turn and put their faith in God and change their direction. While we know what she did in life, we also know her faith. And notice that she is listed in what's called the roll call of the heroes of faith. She's listed here. because she had faith. Listen, God's going to get victory. God's going to do something. And she hid the spies and she protected them. And God blessed her for it. And got her through. By faith she did that. And she didn't perish with those that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon. And we look at Gideon. We often think about taking 3,200 and bringing them down to 300 soldiers. And how God worked there. That you're going to take a multitude, and God says, no, that's too much. And imagine somebody losing 90% nearly of their soldiers. And still willing to go to battle. And by faith follow God. That's an amazing thing. You could look at Barak and how God used him. He subdued them with fewer than the enemy had. And he blessed. And again, what is God doing with Gideon and Barak? He took little and he made a lot out of it. When they by faith were willing to follow God. Great victories can be won when people of faith put their trust in God and follow what He's told them to do. And that's the example we have in Gideon and Barak, in Samson. And Samson, really, his faith was at the end of his life. He finally saw his failure and saw that he needed God. And he killed more when he relied upon God than he ever killed with all the strength of his own flesh, that even that he received of God. When he learned just to look to God and say, God, I need you. I need the strength from you. He was able to destroy more of the enemy than he was when he was just acting out of madness and anger and selfishness. And God, even in that, is showing it's not about our strength. It's about God using us. You got Jephthah, and then you could go on, and you got David, and often when you think about David, you think about him facing Goliath. There's a lot more to his life than that, but I love how David did go up, and he told King Saul, he said, listen, I haven't proved this armor that you've got. That I've not proved, but he found out what he had proved was God. And he even told that unto Goliath. He said, my God shall deliver you into my hands. David didn't put faith in himself and his abilities. He knew what God had already used him for. God's delivered a lion. He's delivered a bear into my hands. He will deliver this Philistine into my hands. And his faith was not in himself. And I bet if we could go back and see what David looked like at that time, we'd have told him to stay back. That giant's going to kill you. We'd have probably been in the same crowd with everybody else. But David had faith in God. And he said, I can stand against this man because it's not me standing here. It's God standing here. I'm just a vessel. I'm just an instrument. And I bet you that David wouldn't have even talked about how skillful he was with those rocks and that sling. But rather that God can take these rocks and He can guide them right where they need to be. And I'm not saying he wasn't talented with those things. No doubt that he was. But at the same time, he was putting his faith in God. Because you think a rock can be blocked, can't it? I mean, the man's got a shield going before him. He's got other weapons of war. He can throw his sword up in front of the rock. But God distracted the enemy. God led it where that rock would hit. Right where it needed to. And it killed the man. And I also love the faith of David that he didn't just think the giant's going down today. He let those Philistines know that once he's dead, I'm coming after the rest of you. And again, that wasn't David being arrogant. It wasn't him being lifted up in pride. He had faith that God was going to deliver the battle into his hands. And that's where we need to be in our life. But he said Samuel and the prophets. Of course, Samuel being a great prophet. And in so many ways, God using him in great ways. I even think of the faith of his mother. that was unable to have children, and how she begged God for a child and said, if you give me one, I'll even dedicate him unto you. He'll be yours. She just wanted to have a child so bad. And her faith in God, and how God blessed in that, and how Samuel was used in such a mighty way, you could say in Saul's day, in David's day. He was such a mighty man of God that acted by faith and won great victories for God by his faith and did so much for the nation of Israel. But you go through the other prophets and, well, that's saying a mouthful, isn't it? How much could we talk about Isaiah or Jeremiah? One of my favorites is Amos. I've always liked Amos, maybe because he was just kind of a farmer boy. And sometimes when he was making prophecies and God was revealing things to him, there was even times he stood up and he said, listen, I'm not speaking these things for myself. God led me to speak it. When people were against him, when he stood up for God, but he spoke it by faith because he said, listen, I'm just sharing what God can. I think about Jeremiah, known as the weeping prophet so many times. And I think about being told that they're not going to listen to you, and yet he still went and preached. They're not going to hear you. They're not going to listen to you. But you still need to preach it anyway. That's a lot of faith. And I've often thought about the revivals that would follow later within the nation of Israel. And no doubt it was the children and maybe the children's children that heard Jeremiah and heard his messages and heard him preach. And they saw the failures of their parents or maybe even their grandparents. And they, by faith, remembered those messages that God had sent through Jeremiah, and it would lead to repentance. It makes a difference. Sometimes we don't live to see the results of our faith. We don't get to see everything within our life, but that lets us know that it's not always about what we can see or the results that we get to witness ourselves. Sometimes it's about just faithfully following God and seeing the good later. I've often thought there's no doubt a lot of preachers that are going to see, and I say preachers, that would be a bad way to put it, because there's many other faithful people of God that have served in their families and have set an example for their loved ones, and there's probably people that were saved after they died that they never knew that they had an impact upon. And to see the work of God, and it's not always about what we can see instantly, it's about what it happens over time. Our faith right now is important for people that we don't even know it's going to be important for. And if we had just by faith served God, it may work some things out that we won't know until the other side of eternity. And we need to, by faith, continue to serve God. But these other prophets, he said, who through faith subdued kingdoms. And when I even read that, My mind often goes to Elijah with this and subduing kingdoms. You know, a whole army compassed about Elijah. And he was going to be destroyed, wasn't he? That's what it looked like. Even his servant came out and said, well, what can we do? Elijah said, Lord, open his eyes. And he saw that there was more with them than with the army. And of course, what did God do? He struck them with blindness. And Elijah was able to lead them unto their king, wasn't he? He was able to gain a victory greatly because he put his faith in God, that God's able to do things. And I tell you, we might not can just say, open your eyes and see that there's more on our side than there is with the world today. I mean, by physically seeing some things, but I could still tell you, we're still on the side of victory, no matter what it looks like. There's sometimes we might feel like we're compassed about and we're surrounded and there's nothing that we can do. Faith changes that. It changes everything. And we need to keep our faith in God. But they subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. And, of course, those aliens meaning, like we talk about illegal aliens today, people of other countries trying to come and attack them and overtake them. And God was able to take the enemy in to destroy them. But they waxed valiant in fight. He says, women received their dead raised to life again. And you go to Elijah with that, and how that woman saw her child brought back to life that cared for him and took him in during the famine. They received their dead raised to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And I know that we could go to some of the Old Testament with that, but I've often wondered when he wrote that if he was writing that about some in the New Testament time. There's been a lot of people that have suffered for the cause of Christ. Again, you can find a lot of writings on that. You can find people that were told by the Catholic Church they were going to receive their third baptism and they drowned them in the water. And I tell you, that's kind of a mild case of the torture they went through. There's people that had their children taken from them, children that watched their parents killed in front of them, and people that were skinned alive, people that were burned alive, people that were thrown to animals, just a number of things. And yet they still preached the gospel, and they would not deny Christ no matter what they faced. And knowing all these things as we look through time, we know the effect that faith has had. Faith in Christ has changed the world. It has changed things in the world more than anybody realizes. Without Christ, without the gospel, without His people, my goodness, this world is a far different place. It is a far different place. And most people that live today, because they don't want to bring up Jesus or they don't want to bring up Christianity, most of that history is not even taught anymore. And of course, as a minister, it is not my job to try to teach history all the time. It's not my job to just go back. I'm thankful that we get the opportunity to casually mention some things sometimes about that history. But there are so many details of that. And yet God remembers their faith. And it's because of their faith that we're here today. I've even made the statement myself, I know my family. And what I mean by that is, I know how stubborn and hard-headed we are. And I know also that my family comes from heathens. All of us do. There's not a Jew here in the house tonight, as far as a fleshly Jew. There's none of us like that tonight. We didn't grow up, and even those people had to hear the gospel and receive it. Of course, the Old Testament law and things of that nature. But you think about us. Somewhere along the way, some of our family was worshiping idol gods. They were worshiping false gods. They were in heathen cultures. No doubt, if we could go back far enough in records, we'd probably find family members that sacrificed their children unto gods and things of this nature. That's within all of our history. It's within all things that we face. And no doubt, we took part in all kinds of rituals. And even after that, I probably got family that were raised Catholic. I probably got family that was raised in all kinds of other things. Somebody by faith reached my family. Somebody by faith shared the gospel with them. Somebody had the courage to come with the gospel to their area, their communities. Whether it was in Scotland, whether it was in England, whether it was somewhere else in Europe, whether it was here in America, whenever that time comes, that somebody shared the gospel with my family. And I'm the beneficiary of it. And we certainly need to remember that as we share Christ with others. Some people say, well, I was able to lead one person to Christ. And I've always told people, never think that one person means that that's the only person led to Christ because of what we've done. Because one person led to Christ sometimes means their children being led to Christ, or their parents being led to Christ, or other family members being led to Christ, or their friends being led to Christ because they see the effect of Christ in their life. It makes a huge difference. By somebody years ago getting one member of my family to Christ, how much impact has it made for generations in my family? I can at least go back that I can know of four generations, not counting myself, I can go back four generations in my family and know that they were They were Baptists and churchgoers. Somebody made a huge impact. And listen, that led to not only that person's children, but how many branches does that branch out in a family tree of no doubt people over the years that have trusted in Christ? Over probably one person being led to Christ. And by faith, we need to remember that when we're sharing Christ with somebody. And when we see somebody that turns and trusts in the Lord, we haven't just impacted one life there. We've impacted a number of lives through that one person. And that's why one more soul means the world. Because it's probably not just one more soul that's going to be impacted by the gospel. It's probably several that's going to be impacted. And we need to remember that. But he goes on and says that they had been tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Now, I do want to deal with that side of it for just a moment about the better resurrection. I don't know where the preaching or theory has come about, but there are people that think that when a person's saved, we all going to receive the same reward, we all going to have the same place, we're all going to have the same mansion. I mean, so many things, and it just doesn't fit Scripture. It doesn't go along with the Bible. There is a resurrection. There is, like we preached even, I believe, Sunday when we mentioned from 1 Corinthians chapter 3 about those that are saved yet so as by fire. And then there's people that serve the Lord diligently and by faith keep His commandments and follow Him and are even willing to die for Him if necessary. Of course, God didn't ask us to be a dead sacrifice, but a living sacrifice. But as long as we're living, we're to give ourselves unto the Lord, even if it means our death. That's a living sacrifice. But there are people that have obtained a better resurrection. The Bible is very clear that there are people that are saved yet so as by fire. There are people that obtain some rewards. There are people that obtain great rewards. There's even people that are going to be a part of the bride. There's some people that have the honor of being invited to the marriage supper. There's some people that go in and out of the city. There's some people that receive crowns, aren't they? There's some people that will even rule and reign with Christ and sit in His throne as He sits in His Father's throne. That's a better resurrection. These people knew that what they were doing with their lives was a greater prize than what they could obtain here on this earth. You even go back to Moses. He esteemed the reproaches of Christ greater riches than all that treasure that was in Egypt. Do we not doubt that Moses has a better resurrection because of that? Have something better? Those that were willing to fight, those that were willing are not willing to fight, those that were willing to stand with God, those that were ashamed of God. We find in the Scriptures that there were some that believed upon Christ while He was here on this earth, but they were ashamed to testify that they had believed in their heart upon Christ. And God deals with them as with shame. Now, I would say this, the Bible is very plain. They believed upon Christ, therefore they are saved, but they were not willing to profess Him. Which one gets the better reward, those that just trust Him in silence, are those that trust Him and then profess Him to the lost and dying world? Well, they obtain a better resurrection. And no matter what we face or go through, when we're willing to live for God and serve Him, we are obtaining a better resurrection. He said in verse 36, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. And I will say this, there are still people facing that in the world today. If you stand up for God, you're going to be mocked. And we've probably dealt with the mocking part before. I know I have. I've been mocked for my faith, but I can certainly say I have not been scourged for my faith. There is no marks on my body because of my faith. There have been times I thought I might take a punch or two for the gospel. At least I thought I was facing those situations, but God even blessed in that. But there are people that truly face beatings. It seems like every week I get a report from somewhere of Christians that are dying for their faith. Even near where we're going to be going over in Kenya, you go to Somalia. Can you imagine being a Christian in Somalia and what they face there? Or the Sudan? My goodness, there are places that people are facing things. Or Afghanistan? Iran? Saudi Arabia? Can you imagine what the Christians face in those locations? And there are Christians in those locations. And they are facing scornings. They are facing bonds and imprisonment. It says in verse 37, they were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Were tempted. One of the temptations that you will find is while they are torturing people, they continue to say, we can kill you if you'll just reject Christ. If you'll deny your faith, or you'll kiss this ring, you'll bow down to our faith, and we can make it all go away, all the pain go away. Listen, that's a big temptation, isn't it? When your body's in pain, there's oftentimes our natural reaction is, I'll do anything to make this pain go away. Sometimes we say that with aches and pains we have in our daily life. Oh, I wish they could make a pill to make this go away. Oh, I wish this, you know, pain and agony I'm dealing with, that it could just be gone for a moment. And it is human nature. We want the easy way out. These people have been tortured in ways that's just unimaginable to us. And then they come and whisper in your ear, this can all end. The pain can be gone if you would just deny your faith in Christ and put your faith in our religion. They were tempted, but they did not deny the Lord. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. And I tell you what, that sure goes against that prosperity gospel being preached in our day and time. Oh, if you've really trusted in Christ, you're going to have nothing but good days, and you're going to have wealth, and you're going to have all these wonderful things. Everything's just going to go your way if you trust in God. That is not what you find in the Scripture. And that is one of the reasons we preach against those false teachings. Our God said that those who would put their faith in Christ Jesus and would serve Him, that they shall suffer persecution. That persecution might just be with mockings. It might just be with a little bit of affliction in the flesh, but it might be torment. But no matter what we face, we are not to let go of our faith in Christ, and we are not to deny Him no matter what we face. Because it is through our faith that it makes all the difference. Even when Jesus faced the cross, He gave us an example when He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And even one of the soldiers had to admit, surely this was the Son of God. Because he saw the forgiveness and the love that He had even for His enemies, even while He faced the cross. We're not to deny the Lord under any circumstances. And notice what is said in verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy. That's a pretty high praise from God. You say, well, Paul or some other apostle wrote this. I believe that speaks directly from the heart and mind of God, led by the Spirit of God. God says the world was not worthy of these people who had such faith, such courage, and served God even unto death. He said they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. They weren't living lavishly, were they? They were living in poverty and scraping by, just trying to serve God in peace. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith. That's how they obtained that good report. We go back to the beginning. How did the ones of old, our forefathers, how did they obtain a good report? By faith and trusting God. How did these, at the end of the chapter, obtain a good report? Through faith. And notice what he says there. Receive not the promise. You'd almost think that's a bad thing, don't you? But it's not. Because this is not where we inherit the promises here. Our greatest promises are after this life is over. Abraham didn't see that city that he looked for while he was here. He saw it by faith. Moses, you say, well, he was carried up and he got to see the promised land from the mountain, but he didn't get to enjoy it. But I'll tell you this, there were things that God desired him to enjoy that he is going to enjoy. But he said, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. There's coming a time when all of those who have put their faith in Christ are going to be gathered together. In Thessalonians it says that the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which remain will be changed according to the Scripture, and we'll go and meet them in the air and forever be with the Lord. We call this the glad reunion day often. There are promises that we are waiting to see. We even look in the book of Revelation. There's a time when even those that have been martyred for the cause of Christ, they ask the Lord, how long till you avenge us? They didn't get to see that vengeance while they were alive, did they? They didn't get to see the justice for what was done to them while they lived. But God let them know, rest for a little while. And He let them know that vengeance was His and He was going to bring it to pass. And we know that one day He will bring that vengeance upon this earth and He will judge the earth in righteousness. And He will reward those that have served Him, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And there will be a new Jerusalem, and there will be an eternity spent with God, and the tears shall be wiped away. But that is not yet. It is not yet. It is coming, but it is not yet. And even sometimes I hear people at funerals that they say, well, you know, there's no more crying for this person. There's no more bad days. And some even say they're walking the streets of gold right now and all this. That's yet to come. That's yet to come. They're in the paradise of God, according to Scripture, right now. They're at peace and at rest. It's what the Bible testifies and lets us know. But there's coming a day when all the promises that have been given shall be fulfilled. And all the things that even Abraham looked for, that even Abel looked for, that even Adam looked for, and Eve looked for, and Sarah looked for, and Joseph looked for, and Joshua looked for. All those things that Paul was looking for himself also, there's coming a time when that which is perfect will come. I know we have the perfect Word of God now, but there's coming a day when Jesus Christ is coming again, and He's coming to receive us unto Himself. And we get to see those eternal blessings with God. And by faith, we look forward to that. And I pray that we would today. This is the burden that God has given us. We'll have some wonderful things to pick up with next week that carry this thought on into chapter 12. But I pray this could be a blessing that we look for by faith, remembering those that have come before us, looking for the same things by faith, and how they obtained this good report by faith in Christ. This is the burden, again, that God's given us. If you'd have anything upon your heart, I invite you to come while I have verse of a song.